It's Duff's Electric Unicycle Show, starring Duff.
I have wobbles for a very long time.
All right, guys, welcome. I actually just got on the stream, or I actually just sat down on my computer a couple minutes ago because I was watching the Eagles' overtime loss to the Cowboys. Oh, man, that was a frustrating game. And it's funny, like the score was, you would think looking at the score, you would think it was a real back-and-forth game, real tight, but the Cowboys, they outplayed the Eagles tremendously. I think they had almost 600 yards of offense, maybe even more than that. Yeah, they just kind of sputtered when they got close to the end zone, had a couple of turnovers, but they clearly outplayed the Eagles by a lot. So that was a very frustrating game. And if the Eagles would have won that game, they would have stole it for sure. So, oh well, they got the Super Bowl last year. That's all I care about. Hunka says hi, Cindy. By the way. Cindy. I don't know where she is. She's around. She'll be around. I think Katie's coming over to do something. So anyways. All right. So anyways, welcome. Welcome, everybody. Appreciate you stopping by. And just before I came on, I saw my Facebook notification on the EUC group, and I saw that Marty had a pretty bad face plant. From the looks of it, I looked at the video. I don't think he had it on video. I think I saw him. I had to speed through it. I think I saw him talking about the aftermath of it, but I don't know that he was actually recording when it happened. But it sounds like, in a nutshell, he was looking at his Pebble watch to check the speed, and during that split second that he was looking at his watch, like there was a divot in the road that he hit, and it bounced him and just threw him off immediately. And yeah, he was going, 18 miles an hour. That's mighty fast. And it sounds like he went down hard right on his face. Actually, his face doesn't look too bad, but his elbows took a beating. He didn't have elbow pads on, although he had a leather jacket, so that probably helped somewhat. His wrist guards were all ripped up, and I think he had knee pads on as well. So it could have been a lot worse, but I thought that was really illustrative of what can happen. Even to someone that's Hunka's very proud of you for going 40 miles an hour.
Like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Hunka.
Cindy says thank you. So anyways, that was a perfect example that even someone as experienced as Marty that has thousands and thousands and thousands of miles under his belt of EUC riding, weird things like that can happen, and you can't control the environment around you at all times, and if you look in a dictionary, if there was such a thing in a dictionary as a why do you wear safety gear, right there is a perfect example, because you just never know when that's going to happen. And the way you're going to come out of an incident like that is totally dependent on your preparation ahead of time. So people that don't do any preparation, people that just assume everything's going to be okay, you're playing with fire, guys and girls. So don't do it. It's just my advice. Let's see. Will. Okay, I'm just going to read some chat here. Will says, Cindy is going to be gone all evening, joyriding the monster. Oh. Well, the monster is still out of order. If any of you guys saw my video from yesterday regarding my experience trying to replace the tube on the monster, it is still out of order. So that's one of the things I'll talk about. So yeah, she's definitely not riding the monster right now. Although she does love riding the Dualtron. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, you do love it. So Barrel Sharkley says, Marty did not have the camera on when he crashed. Okay, well, that's all right. I forgive him for that. Yeah, I'm sure. And if that just happened today, did that literally happen today? Did anyone know? Because I saw there was already a forum post about it. Maybe it happened yesterday, but those are the kind of things, those kind of injuries, they hurt real bad initially. And then usually, at least for me, as you become older, those things hurt more and more day two and day three. So, yeah, he's going to be banged up. He's definitely going to be banged up. Yes, the Tesla is only a 16-inch wheel, And CC believes that the MSX with well, the MSX MSX with a 19-inch wheel? Unless I'm missing something, MSX is an 18-inch wheel still. I believe it's a bigger tire. It's fatter, but it's still an 18-inch diameter wheel, I think. But I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I think you could have the monster, and if the thing is, if you're not expecting something like that, you know, because like if you see a irregularity in the road, you can prepare for it. You know, you can kind of get into a position where your body is ready to absorb the shock. But if you're looking somewhere else and something hits you like that, I think you're gonna go down in the you had a big what? Oh yeah, but you stayed on. Because you have two wheels, yeah. So, anyways, yeah. I don't know that the equipment would have made a difference in that situation, but bottom line is, I'm glad Marty's okay. I didn't get to read a report on how his Tesla made out. Hopefully, that's okay too. So, I don't know. Okay, so this did happen yesterday. Okay. Sorcery Circus says rule 7 through 7. Oh, I'm sorry. Rule 1 through 7: dress for the ride, not the weather. Okay, that's good advice, I guess. Tim Petty, who lives in San Francisco, if you go fast, you really need a full face helmet. Yeah, full face is definitely a good thing. I don't wear one often because of the heat and my love of drinking coffee on my devices. That's the main reason that you don't see me in a full face helmet very often. I do own one and I have ridden with it several times. But yeah, if you do a true face plant, a full face helmet is what's going to save you there. Otherwise, you're gonna take a beating. So, okay, Hunka Hunka asks, was it a puncture? I assume that you're asking about my flat on my monster. The answer to that is no, it was not a puncture. And I kind of was suspicious that it was not a puncture because of how quickly it deflated. It felt like it lost air incredibly fast, and if it was a pinhole puncture, it would have been a much slower process. So when I got it apart and pulled the tube out, the old tube out, the right here's the valve stem and the actual rubber tube. It was all torn up here, right at the connection to the tube. I would say it was almost a third ripped off, and it's really weird. I'm curious why that would happen, because the way that a valve stem is mounted in a monster, you have the valve stem, and there's not one but two nuts that hold it in place so it can't shift around. So yeah, I'm curious if anyone else has ever had the valve stem rip on a monster like that. So yeah, it's unfortunate. And when I was trying to put my new tube in, it was also unfortunate that when I was using a tire iron to try to pop the tire back on, I also caught the tube and ripped my brand new tube. So I have more tubes coming. But it's tough. I mean, it's I watched a video that Matthias did a couple years ago on replacing the tire, and he actually took his tube out of his M Super and patched it and put it back in. And it seemed like the tension on the tire for the rim on that wheel was much less than what I'm experiencing with the Monster. It seems very, very tight. I have to really apply some torque and pressure. And I have these big industrial tire levers now, and yeah, it's tough, but obviously I'm going to have to find a way to be more gentle that I do not tear the tube when I try to install it a second time. Okay. CC 19.5. So CC, you're saying that the outer diameter on the MSX is 19.5? Not that I don't believe you, but I'm gonna look up the handy dandy eWheels reference guide here, because yeah, that's surprising if that's the case. Everything I read was that it was being sold as another 18-inch wheel. Blah blah blah. Okay, his stock, not no. Gotway MSX. $2,100 on eWheels. You can get almost a you can get a low an entry level Dualtron like we have for about that money, a little bit more. Okay. It's I don't know. It's okay. It is actually listed as a 19-inch wheel on e-wheels. I apologize. I stand corrected. 19 inches by 3 inches, whereas the 18L Kingsong 18L is 18 inches by 2.5. So good stuff. So Will says that he helped his buddy do a tube on the Monster a couple weeks ago. He brushed the battery connector together at reverse polarity and got one hell of a shock. Do work smart. Okay. Well, I'll make sure to not brush the battery connectors together. Right now, I have the one battery of the second battery out at this point. I don't think I would be in a position to touch the connectors together, but you never know. So Will, how tough was it for you to get the tire on? You know, I think I didn't use any sort of like soapy water or anything, which you know, normally can help in that situation. So maybe I need to use something like that next time, or Vaseline, or I don't know, something to make it easier to slide the tire on, because it was just too damn tight, man. He posted within. No, honk. It wasn't a. Well, I don't see how it could be a pinch flat. I mean, I didn't hit any significant bumps prior to it going flat. I was on a very that straight path, straight and smooth path next to Immokalee Road when it went down. I had just got done doing some seated riding, so I didn't hit anything that would cause a pinch flat that I'm aware of. So okay, post within the hour, blah blah blah. Sorcery Circus says the Monster for me is incredibly stable running over things. When I got the MSX, it became more sketchy when I hit things. I imagine the 16-inch wheel could be super sketchy. Well, that is definitely true. I mean, the as you go down diameter size, obstacles become bigger for sure. I was funny today on our ride. If any of you saw the video from today, Cindy was actually taking the Dualtron over some uneven surfaces. She went over like some potholes and stuff like that, not real fast. And you know, and she obviously knew they were coming. But it's interesting because the front and the back of the Dualtron are on like a control arm kind of suspension. She said it actually, you know, did pretty well going over those conditions. Whereas with an EUC, your suspension is your tire pressure. So you bottom that out, you're going to bounce right off. So that's which kind of sounds like what happened to Marty today. Although if it was a divot, like, you know, people are saying that a larger wheel would be able to handle it better. Like if it was a narrow divot, absolutely, like a Monster or the MSX, depending on the size of it, could just roll over that something that size. So whereas a smaller wheel would not. You making something? Yeah, okay. Great. CC says that Marty's lucky he didn't break his nose, jaw, or teeth. Yes, I agree. I agree. Okay. Got a lot of questions coming in here, so just give me a second while I back up. Tube failed. Yes. Not letting the stem move could create intense shearing force under heavy acceleration or braking. I wonder if the fact that the stem is held so tight is the problem. I don't know. I mean, a Monster by design is not a hard accelerator or a hard braking wheel, because of the size of the tire and wheel. Although I see what you're saying, but I don't know. I'm curious to see if anyone else has had a valve stem failure on their Monster, because this is the first time I've had really any significant problems with my Monster at all. And it's I don't know, a year and a half old, something like that. Hunka, did I use soapy water? No, I did not. As I just mentioned, I did not use soapy water, but I am going to definitely use a different approach second time. Although I did buy two tubes just in case I mess up again, because I know myself, I mess things up. You've had stems tear in your mountain bike numerous times. Well, John mentions He's had stems tear, but a mountain bike, depending on what you're doing, like if you have the I assume when you're riding a mountain bike, you normally have the pressure pretty low. So like a pinch flat or there's a lot more opportunities, all the obstacles that you're hitting for to put some sort of weird stress in the tube. So I definitely would see that happening a lot in that situation. But again, with what I was doing and the rotting I was doing, it did not make a lot of sense. I'm trying to think of it. I don't know that I ever took the Monster off-road at all, to any serious degree. I mean, it's been a pavement pounder for me almost exclusively since I've had it. Okay, CC likes the Dualtron. Yes, CC, the Dualtron is pretty awesome. If you just need to get to point A to B quickly, you can put massive batteries in it. Ours only has a 1200 watt battery in it, but it seems to be getting about the same mileage as the Kingsong. Well, the 18XL was showing similar mileage. Oh, you know what? I'm just thinking about something. That's really interesting now that I think about it. Huh. When I did the test ride with the 18XL, when we went out to Ave Maria, and with the Dualtron, the remaining battery percentages were almost identical the entire way, halfway and on, after the ride was done. And then today it was the same thing. It was like 49% on the Dualtron and like 48% on the Kingsong. Never mind. I just forgot about some other differences though, because I forgot that I only charged the Dualtron to 90% this time instead of 100% like it was last time. But my 18L definitely does get good mileage. I think proportionately, it probably works out to get slightly better mileage per watt hour than what I was getting on the 18XL. Now that I run the numbers, I need to calculate that out. But now that I think about it, I think the 18L actually did slightly better based on the juice that it used. So, okay, Brett Holtzman, I hate the 15-degree slant on the MSX. I wish they would offer another pedal for. Yeah, Brett, some people say that it's fine. Like Marty doesn't care about the 15-degree slant. Other people I know really don't like it. Eddie Moy has been very vocal in his criticism of it. He does not like that position. He says it hurts his feet or his ankles or something like that. I've never ridden a wheel with that kind of tilt on it, so I can't really comment. I can tell you that I love the new pedals on the 18XL, and now on my 18L, they're flat. They're not angled up, and they are long and wide. The biggest pedals I've ever ridden on. Up until this point, my most favorite pedals were the M Super style, the original M Super style. But I like these even more. Will, I have nice Motion Pro tire spoons for motocross bikes. I bought a set off Amazon, and they do look like spoons almost. Three of these tire levers or tire spoons, whatever you call them, and yeah, I can get incredible torque with them, but then I worry about overpowering the tire itself or damaging the tire or damaging the rim. Yeah, oops. Who is Elsa? Someone's here. Yeah, generally speaking, I don't like doing anything with tires. I don't like changing tires. I don't like trying to install slime, which I did a terrible job at the one time I tried. So tires of me aren't. Oh, and what if you've ever seen that video of me trying to put the bigger tires on the Mini Pro, the monster tires on the Mini Pro? Oh my God, talk about frustration. And after investing I don't know how much time in that thing and so much energy and sweat and aggravation, I wound up just having Cindy take it to a bike shop where we know the owner, and they actually put it on for me. It was just so frustrating, and it took it and for them, even for them, experienced installers, it took them two people working the tire to get it on and applying a lot of force. Okay, guys, let me work down here. Cindy, is Katie here? Oh, hi, Katie. Katie's here. All right, Sorcery Circus. The MSX, from what I've been told, has the same height in rim, 18-inch rim. The tire itself is wider and has a taller sidewall. Okay, well, I would believe that. That's possible. It's interesting. One thing I discovered, which was surprising, but I guess not when I think about it, but the replacement tube for the Monster is only a 17-inch tube. It's 17 by 2.75 inches, the tube for the Monster, even though it's a 22-inch wheel. So that's how big the tire is. When you measure the rim, it's actually only 17 inches. So yeah, I found that surprising. And I actually wound up buying the replacement tube. Jason from eWheels didn't have any available. I saw Ian had some on his store, but I actually just was able to go on Amazon and buy the tube on Amazon. It was I don't know, less than $15. Wasn't expensive. Okay, CC, can you upgrade your Kingsong 18L to XL by upgrading the batteries? That's a good question. I do not know. I don't want to give false information. Maybe someone else in chat might know. I know we have some knowledgeable Kingsong people that comment on my videos. It would be sweet if it was a plug-and-play thing, but I don't know if there's any difference in the system board, if there's any difference in the internal case layout for the new batteries, or for the additional batteries, or if the connections are already there. I do not know the answer, but it would be nice to know, because that would be sweet, depending on what an extra battery costs, you know. If it was ridiculously expensive, then I might just try to sell an 18L and get an 18XL. Okay, Martin, got a lot of interaction here. I appreciate the interaction, guys, because it makes it easier for me. Because I like responding then instead of proselytizing. Is that a word? I don't know. Marty said the divot caused his wheel to twist side to side, and he sailed off of it. Okay, so then, if this was the divot, that sounds like he did not go over it like this. It sounds like maybe the divot was at an angle, and it just kind of his wheel just kind of channeled into it, and then it just threw him into a death wobble. And if that's the case, a bigger wheel may or may not save you. So, but again, it's just shit happens, and if you don't prepare for it, then prepare for the consequences. That is my motto. All right. Is it possible to make the wheels tubeless, CC? Are you? I don't know if you're talking about the Monster in general. There, I do have my M10-3, and I think all the M10-3s that eWheels have sold are tubeless. Typically, tubeless tires are smaller in diameter, I believe. But my M10-3 is tubeless, so yeah, you can do it. And my the tires on the Mitting Pro are tubeless as well, and they're actually a very similar size to the M10-3 size wise. And I don't quote me, but I think the I have to check. But again, the tires in the scooter are probably a similar size as well. They may be tubeless as well. So the answer is yes, but probably you need to have a smaller diameter tire for that to work. Hunka hunka, are you going to do the slick route for your wheels in the future? I assume that means slime. Yes. Oh, okay. Next line, slime. Yes, I will. I will try to do that. Like I said, the first time I did it, I didn't investigated the procedure as much as I should, and I just inserted the slime right onto the Schrader valve and tried to pump it in. Not knowing that unless you take one of those little tools and you remove the valve assembly from the wheel, it's not you're not going to get a good fill of slime. So I tried to do that on my M Super V3, and I'm sure it accomplished nothing. So yeah, I should do it. Although the slime would not have helped me with that monster blowout, I'm 100% sure of that because it was a very substantial failure. They were close in battery use to CC. What are we talking about? They were close in BS. Yes, CC. They were today. The scooter and the 18L were extremely close. I think it was 1 percentage point difference between the 18L and the scooter. And the scooter has a 1200 watt battery, and the 18L has a slightly over 1000 watt battery. But the scooter started at only 90% charge. The information I got from Jason at eWheel said that he recommends. I got the 5 amp charger where you can set the charge rate from anywhere or the charge amount to, I think, anywhere from 70 to 100%. And the instructions said that their recommendation was for 9 out of every 10 charges to only charge it to 90% for maximum battery life. So that's what I've been doing. So the bottom line is the scooter started today at 90%, not 100%. So it's not a really accurate comparison. But we did ride into a tremendous headwind on the way there. It was really, really bad. So definitely not optimal for range for sure. Oh, Eddie's in here. Hey, Eddie. Jason at eWheels is look. Eddie says Jason at eWheels is looking to put together an upgrade for kit for the 18L to 18XL. He will take the 18L battery pack. He'll take the 18L battery back. Oh, okay, so you can't just add a pack. Like I know with my Monster has a 1600 watt hour battery. And I have the option. I had the option now. I guess I still wanted to. I could actually just buy another 800 watt battery and make it a 2400 watt wheel. So with the 18XL, it sounds like basically it's not like you're adding a second battery pack. You're adding a bigger battery pack. If I remember correctly, I think I read that basically to make it fit, they remove the hard plastic casing. For the battery, is that true? Eddie, do you know? Maybe Eddie knows. I don't know. And the new trolley handle in the 18XL definitely is better, without a doubt. It just it's hard to explain, but just when you work it feels more substantial, feels smoother. It's just better. I'm not sure exactly all of what they changed, but it is definitely a better trolley handle. But I am curious what would be involved with changing the trolley handle. Because I know, like for example, when I did the case swap on my Gotway M Super, to get to the trolley handle, you had to tear the thing way, way down. So hopefully that would not be required on the 18L. Right, Sorcery Circus. I'm probably one of the harder carvers out there, as well as constant jumping off a 2 foot wall one time at 25 miles an hour. Along with doing hockey style stops and lots of torque spinning. Hockey style stops, like slide stops? Really? Are you the guy that I've seen? One week, Marty and I, we had a video of some guy on a monster doing like crazy jumps and stuff. And is that you? Hockey style stop with a monster. Wow. That does sound pretty crazy. It's a 2 foot wall, 25 miles an hour. Well, okay. That's crazy. That's crazy. I'd like to see the video. And I'm glad you're still alive to type. That sounds crazy on a monster. It's funny. I have seen people like the way I ride a monster is very mundane. You know, again, I almost ride it like I would the scooter. It's just, you know, straight line speed and distance. But I have seen people do some very, very aggressive moves on a monster, which at first you would not think are possible, but you would be wrong. Right, Sorcery? Yeah. Hunka, did you fix your arm? That's right, Hunka. Yeah, I forgot you hurt yourself. What is the status of your injuries? I'm surprised, Sorcery Circuits, that you haven't had an issue with the axle on the monster, with either getting damaged or the nuts. So you never had to tighten your axle nuts with all that kind of abuse? Wow, that's crazy. It's great, but it's crazy. Yes, Hanka, larger pedals on the 18L are great, and I love the visual effect. You know, with a white wheel. And then the black leg pad, but then the silver pedals on the stock 18L. I think the black looks so much better, really does. And not like it matters in the functionality, but several times today, I'm just like visually, like, oh yeah, visually that looks so much cleaner. Really like it, and it looks more proportional to the wheel. All right, and you guys are chatty tonight. Let's see. Oddly enough, when I got my M10-3, the tire went flat probably five times in the first 2 weeks. So, what did you do to address all the flats on your M10-3? Did you have a problem with the tire, Or what'd you wind up doing? All right, so Will is giving me some advice. You can carefully clip a vice grip to the rim to hold your progress when inching the tire on. Perhaps use a small strip of cardboard to avoid marring a small strip of cardboard to avoid marring the rim. I was actually doing okay because, like I said, I had three of them. So I would have one at this end, and then one in the middle. And I would take the one in the middle and move it beyond one on either end, and then the one that was on the end is now in the middle, and I would just keep moving around. So I was making progress, but I got to the point where there was just so much tension on the last portion of the tire that I had to really get in there and try to crank it. And I caught the tube because I had a minimal air in the tube just so it kind of had a little bit of shape. I had like 5 PSI in it, and I just cranked, and then I heard the psss, and I've followed by swear words by me, and yeah, so live and learn. But I definitely will not, once I retire, I definitely will not be looking to get a job in a bike shop. Okay, just you heard it here first. All right. Will, the rim is 17-inch motorcycle sizing. Use blah, 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 blah. Okay, thank you. Hunka asks, Katie, are you here? Hunka asked what you and Daniel think about the Dualtron. Katie thinks it's super awesome. Okay, yeah, they're talking about Cindy's video today, where she hit 40 miles an hour 4 times on the Dualtron. Yeah, Katie loves it. I mean, they've only ridden it once, but you know, Daniel was up to max speed in no time, so. Don't forget, I need you to break me for pee breaks once in a while. Not yet. Not yet. Oh, no, if anyone hasn't noticed, I have a deck. Oh, there. That's this one. I have a decoration over my shoulder that Cindy prepared, you know, because she likes things to be festive for the stream. So we have a lit up 3D printed deer, by the way. I printed that on the Kiron, full size. So yeah, it's pretty nice. And that's your stocking? Well, we're not sure yet, right? Yeah. Okay. And my big stocking behind it. Colossal stocking. Yes. Okay. Don't forget, it's hard for me to hear with these on, so. Okay. All right, so Sorcery Circus. When I got the MSX, it felt a little tricky. It was even tough to jump. But then after a while now, it actually feels flat to me, the monster, when I ride. Oh, it feels flat. You're talking about the dihedral angle on the MSX? Okay. Yeah, that's a very mixed bag. Some people don't mind it, some people prefer it, some people hate it. Right, Eddie? If you're still here, Eddie can speak to the hated camp. Hunka says, if you had the thunder, would Cindy feel it's safe enough to go up to 80 kilometers an hour? Which is, I believe, 55 miles an hour? You looked up, well, it was windy though. Yeah, but it's windy. No, I'm saying it's not windy though. So, Hunka, the answer is no. Cindy would not feel comfortable at 80 kilometers an hour on a thunder. And I don't know that I. Well, I don't know. I would do it, but I don't know that I would feel comfortable. Well, the wheels in the thunder are, I think, are an inch bigger. I think they're 11-inch wheels instead of a 10. But no. What, do you want a thunder for Christmas? Oh, okay, that's true. Yeah. What did the wheel? Okay, Hunka asked, what did the wheel feel like when it went flat? I assume you're referring to my monster. Like I said, in a very, very quick fashion, I started hearing rubbing against the case. You know, as the tire instantly pancaked, it was rubbing against the case, and you could tell you had no air. I don't know, but luckily I wasn't going super. Like I wasn't doing, you know, 25. I was probably doing, I don't know, between 15 and 20, and I just, you know, I slowed it down in a hurry, and I was lucky. But like if I was sitting when that let loose, that could have been really, really bad, you know, because trying to transition to standing, you know, while the tire's going flat, like who knows what would have happened. But I did have full gear on, so just in case. Hunka says, "You ride so close to traffic, it's scary to think what a fall would be like on the road." I agree. It is scary, so I don't think about it. John W. echoes my thoughts that the slime does not prevent a stem tear flat. That is true. Eddie Moy says yes to something. I'm not sure what Eddie Moy is referring to. Okay, yeah, wow, this is the most chat action that I've ever had, I think. My goodness. Wow. I'm not going to even get to my notes. I have some notes and stuff, but wow. Okay. All right, I'll try to read faster. Okay, so Eddie verified no more hard battery case. It's the old method with blue shrink wrap, three parallel packs on each side. Okay, so that's how they got the extra space. So we're referring to the 18L and the 18XL. So I assume that it is the same case, Eddie, I guess. So yeah, be interesting. Yeah, Jason, if you want someone to test an 18XL upgrade kit, I don't know. Well, Eddie has an 18L as well, so. But just saying, you know, I got one. All right. Power Craig. Craigle. I don't know what Craigle is, Hunka. I think you're talking over my head. So Eddie says that Jason initially mentioned $800 for the upgrade kit. Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow for me, considering if you buy a new 18L now and a new 18XL, it's $400 difference. So yeah, little bit much for me, but we'll see. Oh, so Hunka says you're Hunka. You know that Hunka was injured, right, Cindy? Okay, it's all right. It's okay. Well, I'm glad to hear your arm is doing a little bit better. Yes, Sorcery. That was kind of my point, that it seems like my 18L is very, very efficient battery wise. Very efficient. It would be interesting. Maybe Marty will do this when he gets the. Well, no, that's the 18XL. I was going to say it'd be very interesting to do a mileage comparison with a King Song 18L to a. Let's see. Well, I guess it wouldn't be an apples to apples comparison, but I'm just like a Tesla has a 1,000 watt battery roughly, but that is a 16-inch wheel. You could do a comparison with the Z10, but I can tell you already that the 18L does better battery wise than the Z10. I'm pretty positive of that based on my experience with that test unit. But yeah, bottom line, I think the 18L does really, really well with the size battery that it has. So Kona Go Coffee Grower says that the axle nuts on his M Super come loose regularly. I have heard that from a lot of people. And to be honest, with my M Super V3, they kind of feel like they might be a little loose, but I don't feel like ripping it apart to torque them. It's not bad enough that I need to do that yet, I don't think. Chooch was complaining on Facebook about the MSX tilt over cutoff. He fell a few weeks ago, and I guess he's recovering. Yeah, I think so, yeah. So okay, so Eddie's talking about that Cheech was mentioning the MSX tilt over cutoff, which is a safety feature, because I remember Matthias did a video on that, how it's nice that once it gets to a certain degree, it'll just cut the motor, whereas older Gotways do not behave like that. They'll be almost laying on their side until they cut off. Like if you saw the video where the monster got a flat, and I was pushing it towards or trying to push it towards Cindy, and I lost grip of it, and it tipped over, and it did a death spin. You know, hit me in the leg, and yeah, that was always a behavior with Gotways I was not a big fan of. So I prefer that it cuts off before it's on its side. I guess Chush doesn't like that for his aggressive riding, I guess. All right. Okay, Brett Holtzman, if Gotway made a 5 to 10 degree pedal, I would love the MSX that much more. It is designed for distance. Unless you have flat feet or palsy, you'll become uncomfortable rather quickly. Okay, so that's another person that does not like the MSX pedal angle. Okay, Sorcery is talking about the battery on the 18L. It has something to do with the motor and the board. You know, the MOSFETs were twice as big and has thicker cables and wires, so I was wondering if the 18XL 1554 would. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure why it's so much more efficient, but it definitely is. Definitely more efficient than my Monster or my M Super V3 for sure. Hunka, if you're referring to me in the tire change video, I have videoed up until my failure last night. So yeah, now there'll be a video documenting my successes and failures, just like I do with most things. So I don't like to color things with rose-colored glasses. Yeah. Okay, Will is giving me some more tire mounting advice. On the side where the tire is already mounted, place the bead towards the center of the rim instead of the edge. This will give you more clearance for the unmounted side. Okay, well, that makes sense. But the problem I was having was the tube wanted to run up the unseated side as well. It didn't want to stay down around the wheel. It wanted to ride up in the tube, which hence why I pinched it as I was trying to push the tire down. The tube did not want to stay down there. That was rather tight as well. So I don't know. Again, I'm sure it's technique. I'm sure someone that's experienced with this would have no issue, but I have not done a tube before on my electric unicycle. Okay, Eddie is referring back to Chooch not wanting the shutoff based on angle of the wheel. He wants it removed. His idea was to have some pin that you remove or jump off. You pull the pin. All right, well, I don't agree with that idea, but I guess it's good to have ideas. that's fine. I mean, Chooch is a unique rider. I mean, for him, that's great, but for the vast majority of people, that is not going to be a practical solution. So, you know, but that's all right. He'll live. I'm sure he'll find other ways to, you know, get by without putting a pin in his wheel. Hunka likes the deer that you made, Cindy. Well, Eddie, I don't know if you're familiar. Again, we're still talking about the MSX. That Matthias actually, he got a version of the board for his MSX with firmware that has no tilt back. I believe, if I'm being accurate about that. So, it's interesting, but I don't know that they have one that has no angle detect either. Yeah, Eddie, maybe the only way they would do that is if you signed a waiver. I don't know. It does sound kind of dumb to release something like that to the masses. Yeah, Eddie knows a lot about King Songs. I appreciate you stopping in, Eddie. Hunka Hunka says, it would be funny if you dressed the Dualtron up to resemble a mobility scooter and zipped around at 40 miles an hour. Okay. Don't give Cindy ideas. She has enough of her own. How long does a full battery on the Kingsong 18S hold under 30 degrees? Well, I don't have an 18S, I have an 18L, but Eddie has an 18S, and he lives in the greater New York City area where it gets a lot colder than it does here, so he can probably answer that for you. Do you want to sit in for me for like 2 minutes, please? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Brett thinks you should have a choice of the pedal slant you prefer. Okay, well. I understand. If you had a modular helmet, you could drink coffee while riding. Yeah. Or a straw. I guess I could put a straw in my coffee and drink it that way. It would look kind of silly. Yeah, but like if I had like one of those travel mugs, which I do have actually. Huh, what, with a straw? Yes, I've seen those modular helmets before. Okay, Cindy's going to sit in here for me for a second while I take a break. This is a Cindy commercial. So Cindy can pitch whatever product she wants to pitch right now. And it looks like I'm almost caught up on chat, so I can actually start going through my notes. I have stuff I thought that was noteworthy. Trying to make a thing. You ready?
In a flash. Okay. Hi. I didn't get to fix my hair for y'all, so very sorry. I'm trying to teach myself some macrame. I know, sounds like I'm getting older, but anyways, what's up? Nobody's talking to me. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm looking. Oh, Cindy does love the Dualtron. Let's see. My hair's a mess. Hi. Hi, Eddie. You guys gotta ignore the hair. It's totally a mess. This is post-Dualtron hair. Got all messed up. Damn it. What happened, Dean? Why are you saying damn it? I love the Dualtron, I have to be honest, but reaching 40 miles an hour was a little scary. Exciting and scary all at the same time. I used to have a motorcycle, and I had a Vespa, a 250. Hey, hunka hunka, I hope you're feeling better. And go away, Sean, I'm having fun. I'm kidding. You can come. How easy? Okay, Dualtron. Okay. I weigh like 129 pounds. So depending on which mode you're in, the easy mode, what's the easy mode, the lowest mode,
Eco.
it the eco mode, it's real easy with the trigger.
Well,
And
it's more the single motor mode that makes it easier on the trigger. Like if you just
okay.
get the back motor going, it's a lot easier to accelerate. If you both, it's killer.
Oh, Eddie answered your question. Okay. Oh, cool. I'm sorry. Oh, he answered what? It's so much fun. Anyways, Sean's answering. Either way, I love the Dualtron. I love it. But when we got into the other, I have issues with my hand, but I love the cruise control because as soon as you get to the speed you want to be at, the only problem is braking is like instantaneous, so you have to really be ready for it. I was in the Air Force. Hey, I won an incentive ride. So I have to say that it was, I know any pilot would kill me for saying this, but there were some similarities to flying in an F-16 and being on the Dualtron today because there is a G-force going on. I mean, with that one, it kicks. It kicks when you're in the. Oh, God, please don't do that. You're trying to give me a heart attack. But, anyways. I'm going to put you in like bubble wrap before you do something like that. But it's super fast. On the street, it's great. It did great. I loved it, the red lights where everybody was starting to go and they weren't leaving me in the dust. That was kind of cool. I loved doing that when I was on my Vespa too. So, but it's so easy to ride. I have to add some stuff to it. I might look for a a lane changing kit, little blinker kit just to be safe, but I really love it. I wish I had a lock for it. I need to get a lock for it so I can actually go places and go inside places with it because I would definitely do that. So Sean's back. If you're not ready for the acceleration, you can fall off. Number one advice I learned today, the acceleration with your finger. If you're standing up, the bike, the Dualtron takes off without you. If you put your body weight, if you
Well,
have
because your center of gravity is higher when
Well,
you're
if
standing
you
up.
have the seat, and don't make fun of me for having the seat, but if you have that seat and you sit on it, you secure the bike and you take off and it's good power, but there's nothing sudden crazy about it. It's definitely more control. So I like it. If you're not ready for it, it definitely takes off though. Because I was like a couple times, I almost had like a little wiggle spin out at that last light. So it's how much bigger is it? The Thunder, how much bigger is it? It's just like an inch on the tire, isn't it?
The
But is
tire is
the
an inch.
body?
The tire, yeah, the tire
Yeah, Eddie's saying it's. How big is it? Oh, bigger meaning like
And
more
stronger motor,
powerful
and
is
stronger
what he's
motor,
probably
yeah.
saying.
I think it's 1200 watt motors.
AUC for convenience. Oh, I love the seat. The seat's so awesome. So easy. Get on it, start off fast, and then stand up if you need to. But I'm 5'5", but because of my height, I don't know. When I'm up, standing up, and the winds today were like 30 miles an hour, that had to be 30 mile, 25 to 30 mile per hour
Sounds about
winds. There
right.
were some big gusts, and then going against it. But for my body weight, I feel safer at the speed going seated, not standing, because there's too much wiggle going on. I think the fastest I went standing up was closer to 31, and then I was like really scared.
Most wind drag when you're sitting too.
And when I sat down, and depending, we were going against the wind, and the wind was hitting us from the side at one point, but I definitely feel much safer when I'm sitting. Oh, it is smooth. Once it's going, it's smooth. Definitely. I think people with a little more weight, it would definitely be really smooth. I felt a little shaky, but I love it and I'm so grateful. So, Sean's back. Hope y'all have a good one.
Halfway into a Z90.
Oh, and Merry Christmas, right? Or no, you have a stream the day before Christmas, Eve of Christmas Eve, the 22nd or 23rd. Yeah, that's right, the
Let's
weekend.
assume 23rd
Okay.
for Christmas. You never know if I'll need another one, though. Another break. Cindy says thanks. Yes, Eddie, the Thunder is faster. And they have something above the. Th they're coming out with something called, I think, the Dualtron X, which is like $5,000 or $6,000. It's just. It's insanity. It's crazy. So, okay. All right, so. Let me just go through my notes because I did take the time to do them. So this week I finish up my testing on the 18XL, which not Marty. Marty is going to be getting it. Eddie Moy got to test the 18XL as well, and I really had a good experience with it. I really like the big pedals, and hence I really love having the big pedals on my 18L now as well. The range, it seemed like it was a legitimate 50-mile wheel. And while I had it, I passed 200 kilometers, so I was able to unlock the higher speed on the XL, which was cool. And to me, and I saw Eddie, you commented on the one video that it kind of seems to you that the 18XL felt like it had slightly better balance, and it might be because of the additional batteries, maybe, giving it a more substantial center of gravity, maybe. I don't know. It felt very, very, very balanced to me. So, very good experience with that. I dropped it off at FedEx Tuesday night. It's heading out to Chooch, so who knows when he's going to get it? But yeah, he'll be next in the testing list. And like I said, the pedals were one of the things I really liked. And I just posted a video last night of my install of the pedals on my 18L. And again, much like my Monster tire installation, I didn't do any homework ahead of time, and I struggled. I cut out a lot of my struggle, but a lot of my struggle was because I was trying to install the new pedals just like the old ones, where you have grub screws on either side and you have a rod in the middle. So I took off the old pedal, put the new pedal on, tapped in the rod. Got the grub screw in the one side fine, but the other side would not start. It would not start. It would not start. And here I come to find that I guess it's designed that way on purpose. That with the 18XL pedals, it's designed to only use one grub screw. The opening is big enough for for the rod on one side, but it's not on the other. So you basically just insert the rod and just put the grub screw on the one side, and then you're good to go. Well. Again, I didn't know this, so I stupidly fought with this thing forever, and I wound up having to like point it down and then use my nut driver and just crank on that other grub screw. And I actually, maybe I just cut my own threads in it. I pushed so hard, I don't know. But I got both grub screws in, but evidently you do not need to do that, so my bad. But I do still love the pedals. Okay. Okay, Sorcery is back talking about Chuchin riding his ankle cut off. Yeah, that is what he's talking about. I have seen that before. When he rides in on like skateboard parks, and you can, when you're in a bowl like this, it's easy to hit that cutoff angle, I guess. But again, that's a very unique situation that a lot of EUC riders are not going to be in. Cindy, do you need your knot thing or not? Your knot that you were working on. Oh, okay. She doesn't need it. CC, yeah, the Dualtron Thunder is $3,800. Like I was when I decided to buy the scooter, I was oscillating between the Dualtron 2 EXs, which is what we got, and the Thunder. But I mean, it was like $1,500 more, and it went faster. I think that had a 50 mile an hour top speed, bigger battery. But I said to Cindy that how often are you gonna actually want to go that fast, and do you need to go that far? And the bottom line was it'd be cool to have that capability, but we don't really need it. So that's why we went with the EX. And I mean, as strong as that thing is, I can only imagine what the Thunder is like. I mean, oh my God, must be insane. All right, let me try to catch up to you guys again. Oh, so Sorcery Circus has had his wheel cut off again from the angle detect, yeah. How much money do I have in my pockets right now? I have exactly $0 in my pockets right now. Okay, let me look at my notes again. So, oh, the Monster Tube replacement. I've talked about that repeatedly. That has not gone well. I'll be working on that more this week as time allows and time and motivation allows. So now, the big thing that was announced this past week, at least the big thing that I'm aware of, is that Gotway announced a new wheel, the Gotway Nikola. Again, they're sticking to the Nikola Tesla theme, evidently. And this wheel is interesting. Let me see if I can. How can I get this on the screen easily? Let me try to get this on the screen. I'm sure a lot of you have seen this already. But let's see if I can get this on the page. There we go. All right. And I found this picture the most interesting because the Gotway MSX is a 19-inch wheel, according to eWheels, because of the bigger tire. And the Nikola is a 17-inch wheel. So it's a smaller wheel. It's an odd size. It's like an in-between size, between a 16 and 18. But look at the difference in the actual unit. I mean, it makes the MSX, which is a pretty damn big wheel, look like a toy. There's so much shell and stuff here. I mean, it looks cool, but I would think in practicality, that thing is just going to be, I don't know. It just seems a little bit too large to me. Although it is definitely cool. The lights are cool. It's really fat. Unless you have some pretty significant grip strength, I think trying to lift the thing is going to be a two-hand maneuver. It does have a in motion like trolley handle encased in the handle here. It's weird. It's like they just took cues from In Motion and King Song sort of and mashed them onto a Gotway wheel. I think the guts are supposed to be very similar to the current Gotway lineup as far as motor and battery capacity. But so Eddie thinks it's ugly. I wouldn't say it's ugly, but I think it's too big for like that. Here, let's see how that looks. There you go. You can see it better there. It just seems incredibly big for a wheel that's actually technically smaller than the MSX to have that much case. And this plastic is like a, it's almost like translucent, sort of see-through, even though I don't know what you're actually going to see in the inside of the wheel, except some probably some poorly cable managed wires and some circuit boards and stuff, but nothing that interesting. The dihedral angle of the pedals does not look as severe as the MSX, so some people should like that. But anyways, it's interesting. I mean, when I first saw it, when I saw the video of that guy from Russia, it definitely piqued my interest. Seemed neat. Seemed like a clear ripoff of certain features of other wheels, but I guess manufacturers do that all the time. They copy features. Like the MSX to me was a clear attempt to try to copy some of the features of the Z10, with the lights here and stuff and just the styling. Although I don't think it looks anything like the Z10, but I think that was their attempt to kind of match the Z10, and I think maybe the Niccolo is an attempt to kind of match the InMotion slash King Songs as far as a more futuristic, cleaner look. But if it has the same Gotway build quality problems, that won't be a good thing. All right, so I'm gonna look. I have the specs here. Let's can I do this? Let me do this a different way. So when I look at the specs on the Nikola, a 17-inch clear smoked, it's a 17-inch wheel with clear smoked plastic case. Those LEDs, which I think are interesting. It's a little different spin on LEDs. Different from anything that I've seen before. It supposedly has a lift sensor built in. Oh, I wonder where they got that idea from. Has a very fat handle, like I said. When the guy picked it up, he kind of like had two hands underneath it, because if you look down on top of the wheel, it looks incredibly fat to make room for the. I guess that was their decision, because like on the InMotion wheels, the trolley handle sits on top, but with the Nikola, they have it incorporated into the actual handle structure in the top, so to accommodate that, it has to be very, very wide. So I don't know. I don't know what I think about that design decision. I guess it looks cool, but I don't know how functional that will be. It has the one that they showed in the video had a built-in voltmeter. I don't know of any wheels on the market that have a built-in voltmeter. I don't know if that's something that's going to be in production as well, or maybe it was just that test case. 2000 watt motor, like other current Gotway products. And the battery options are 650, 1300, and 1600 watt hour batteries. And I assume that's for an 84 volt motor. Because usually with a 100 volt motor, you will not have those same capacities. And if I saw this correctly, it does have a speaker. I think they. One of the things they promoted was the speaker in the Niccolo was better than the King Song, much better. So it's the first Gotway wheel that has a speaker in it as well. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I haven't heard anything. I don't know if any of you guys have heard anything as far as timetable. Gotway typically turns their stuff over very, very quickly. They roll things out. In a very rapid succession, sometimes to their detriment because they don't get tested like they should, but it'll be interesting to see how that wheel is received. But definitely is something out of the ordinary, as opposed, it's an all new wheel as opposed to being an iteration on something that already exists. So, kudos to them for doing that. All right, Eddie, yes. Eddie. Yes, they copied the V10F in some ways. Oh, so, okay, so Eddie, so this is much like the MSX, where it's actually an 18-inch wheel, but it just has a bigger tire, so they call it a 19-inch wheel. So it sounds like it's the same situation with this, where it's a 16-inch wheel with a tire that makes it a 17-inch wheel. I would not doubt that. Hard to see how ugly it is from the side. I think a front view Eddie of the Nikola would be pretty revealing. Just how fat that thing has to be. It's I don't know. I'll be very interested in seeing actual riding videos in that thing and what the impression is people have of it. Are you talking to me? She's talking to Sadie. Well, if you look at those pedals on the Nikola, they look maybe just an optical illusion, but they look very thin. They look big though. They almost look big as the new 18L pedals, the 18XL pedals. They look quite large. So I am glad that they are. I think based on how popular this upgrade for the 18L will be, like when they see how many people buy these supersized pedals, it might be a light bulb moment, that they will start making that available on their wheels, at least as an option. Maybe for their Western customers, they sell them with the bigger pedals. I think that'd be great. But yeah, Brett, maybe you might be able to take those pedals and put them on the MSX. I know every other Gotway wheel, you could swap the pedals in between them. I actually, when I had an MCM4, I actually bought Gotway M Super pedals and put them on the MCM4 because their hanger bracket is the same on all their models, unless that's changed recently. So yeah, you might be able to do that actually. Okay, Derek Media, what's up? Coming from a one wheel and debating on the 18XL, how do you like the EUC compared to your one wheel? I get that question a lot. One wheel guys ask me if I like EUCs more than one wheels. EUC guys ask me if I like EUCs or one wheels more than EUCs. It's very different. It's a very different experience for me. I would still say after having a one wheel now for, I don't, 5 months, 6 months, maybe, I don't know. Quite a while. I would say overall, I have more fun riding my one wheel. I think Elsa is going to squeak her tennis ball here, right by me here. Go play over there. I think riding a one wheel for me is more fun. I think the ride style is more engaging. Elsa, not now. You have to do it now, do you? Give me this. Go play over there. Okay. I think the ride style on a one wheel is more engaging. But obviously, as it comes to flexibility, commuting, being able to handle terrain, more speed, range, and the EUC crushes a one wheel in those regards. Like the way that you can easily trolley a lot of EUCs around. There's no easy way to trolley a one wheel. It's a pain in the ass. They're just based on its design, there's no easy way to get that thing around other than lugging it. So there's a lot of pros and cons, but in the big picture, I would say for me, a one wheel is more fun to ride, but an EUC is much more capable in a lot more situations than a one wheel. So that's what I think. A guy in Russia has one. Oh, okay, CC's talking about the Nikola. Well, I saw that video about the guy in Russia. I don't know if he's a dealer or what his connection is to Gotway. So, I'm sure Jason will try to get one as soon as he can, though. Eddie's talking about the Gotway using the older pedal arm. Yeah, you mentioned that on a comment in my video. That's why they use the spacers in their wheel hangers, whereas King Song does not. CC says 2019 may be a big year for wheels. I don't know. Like I said, it's cool that at least the Nikola is an entirely new design. It seems in 2018, we had the Z10 come out. The 18L is a totally new design based on the, well, I don't know that you can even say it's based on the 18S, other than it's an 18-inch wheel because the guts are all different, so. So yeah, and of course we had the V10. So yeah, 2018 was a good year for new and different wheels. So maybe 2019 will be as well. Although you would think that the cycle would have to slow down at some point, but maybe not. I guess sales will dictate that.
Hunka asks, since Eddie's on, can you bring him onto the stream through Skype? No, I don't have yeah, and I don't have, I'm not going through Skype right now. I'm just streaming directly. So there's a lot of logistical things to do there, and based on my experience with Marty, obviously you can see that there's a lot of technical challenges that can occur as well. Sorcery Circus, the Dualtron X supposed to be 65 miles per hour out of the box. Yes, I have heard that. With a couple mods, can reach 100 miles per hour with a 100-mile range. Yes, Sorcery Circus, I have heard that. Well, there's a whole Dualtron modding community out there. I've gotten comments on my Dualtron stuff from people, telling me about some of these things that people do. I mean, they put the higher power motors in there. They put the bigger battery packs in there. You can mod the shit out of these things if you want to. I just don't need to, but that X, the Dualtron X, I don't know. Something like that, I think, might definitely get me in trouble with law enforcement down here. Doing 60 miles an hour in a bike lane, because you can't have a vehicle with no license or registration or license plate on the actual roadway. So, yeah, that would probably be problematic in a lot of places. Oh, Hunka, you heard the squeaking? Yes, that was Elsa. Elsa was squeaking. She likes to do that from time to time. Okay, Derek loves riding and carving. Well, Derek, I mean, you can carve on an AUC. It's definitely a lot different than carving on a one wheel. But the thing is you can, I mean, you can off road on a one wheel, but you can't off road on a one wheel nearly as well as you can on a EUC, just because of the physics of having a much bigger tire being able to handle rougher terrain. If you don't know who Marty Back is, who used to do this live stream with me, look at some of his videos and some of the terrain that he handles on his EUCs, and a one wheel just simply would not be able to do it. So it's my answer is have both. That's my answer. All right, what do we got here? Brett. Brett thinks the pedals are the most important part from keeping you off the ground. Steel should be used and not aluminum. Well, Brett, I do agree with you as far as the importance of them. And I have seen pictures of pedals shearing off before, presumably after like doing a drop or something like that. So yeah, very important indeed. So Eddie says aluminum, if designed right, can be stronger than steel. And Eddie is referring to his Teslas as an example. You still have your Teslas, Eddie? Last time I knew you had a P90, right? And you had a Model X, I think. I don't know if you still do. Yeah, I actually remember your old, maybe it's still a current channel. You have another channel though where you talk about your Tesla stuff a lot. I actually found that a long, long time ago. That's how I actually got into Mini Pros, because you had Mini Pros very early on. Oh, so Sorcery says you wouldn't want to catch any air with a one wheel. Oh, you can catch air with a one wheel. A lot of people do. What they do is they get these things called flight fins, and basically the way they work is you have to have a, well, I don't even know if you have to, but most people that have flight fins, you have a fender over the one wheel, and then the flight fins mount right at the base of it. They're like little lips basically that you get your feet underneath. So like if you're going to jump your one wheel, you get tight in with your feet underneath these little lips, and you can jump and keep in control of the board. I've seen some people do some major jumping on a one wheel, surprisingly. So, yeah, you can do it. Eddie, but you can't talk about your Model X non-disclosure agreement? Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. I would like to know the details of that, because I know you had a lot of problems with it, but yeah, that's very interesting.
Now you've sparked my curiosity. Yeah, I thought I had a lot of toys, but Eddie has me crushed as far as toys go. He has a lot more toys than I do. All right, so let's see. I do have a video here. I have, and to tell you the truth, I don't even remember what it is. It's an M Super related video. So let's see if I can get this to play here. We'll find out what it is together. Yeah, that's super cool. That's about as custom of a wheel as I've seen. It has a lot of Matthias's stuff in there. I see it has his side pads, his mud guard. It's on one of his stand designs, and that paint job is, I don't know if that's a wrap or a paint job. That's kind of ridiculous. He has the lights all customized. I'm curious how much of that he did himself versus paid someone to do. I mean, that's a pretty awesome looking wheel. Wow. I'm impressed. Oh, so Hunka, you saw that? You saw that before? Yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing. And thinking and speaking about Matthias and his stands, actually, and I don't know who this might concern or might not concern, but I was talking to him. Like you know, on my website, I have 3D printed stands. Some of the designs are his design, and then I have a stand design that I did myself, and he actually talked to me about I might be starting to print and sell his design. He has a toolless design that you probably have seen. Jeez, let me see if I can get this up here. He has a toolless design that he's posted on the Electric Unicycle Guy forum before. So let me see if I can get this up here real quick. Can I do it? Can I perform under pressure? That is the question. Unlike the Eagles, who cannot. Not this season. Last season they could. This season, not so much. But that's all right. Stand 4-0. Almost there. There it is. Okay. All right, so let me show this in the chat. Go here, and we go here, and we go here. That design. So, anyways, I'm doing a test print of that now, and then if it goes well, I'll start listing those on the store as well. And of course, this is all with his permission, and I actually give Matthias like a commission on anything that I sell of his. So He's happy with the arrangement, and I'm able to produce and sell these to United States people a lot easier than he can. So we might be giving that a try. We shall see. Okay. Let's get out of that. Yeah, Hunka, that paint job, I assume if that's airbrushed, someone really has some mad skills. I mean, that thing is awesome. And how did you like the guy's gear? I mean, talk about being fully geared out. He was dressed like EUC Extreme. I mean, he had everything. He had a it looked like he had full crash pads on, full face helmet, ski goggles, gloves, everything. And I think he had a backpack with that might have been like a one of those backpacks that has like a water pack in it or something, like a water bottle pack, I guess. So, yeah, he was really decked out. Okay. Yeah, that stand is nice. I'm curious. I want to make sure that it feels sturdy enough, and I want to see how well it prints, because that picture I sent that I showed was just a render. It was a rendered image. It wasn't an actual picture of an actual stand. So sometimes rendered images don't look quite as good as the finished product. So we'll see how it turns out. Oh, Rune said that backpack had a CB radio in it. I wonder why you would need a CB radio when you're riding an EUC, but okay. Very cool. Oh, and one thing I forgot to put in the notes. I mentioned a while ago how I'm getting another electric skateboard, a Backfire Ranger X1, and that actually is supposed to show up tomorrow, I think. Yeah, tomorrow. So that'll be something else. Not like I don't have enough other stuff to keep me busy or to talk about or shoot videos about. I have a Ranger X1 showing up tomorrow, and should be cool. I love the Meepo, but the only drawback with something like that is you need a mostly smooth surface to have an enjoyable riding experience. With a Ranger X1, that the restrictions are definitely lessened. It's able to do mild off-roading and ride in the grass, ride in gravel, that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to compare and contrast that with a Meepo, because I've only ever had the Meepo as far as electric skateboards go. So I'm really interested in seeing how this compares. It's a lot of fun. Yes, Barl's Charcoal. Yes, the Backfire was the image that I embedded in my video a few weeks ago, and the Backfire is actually what is in the bottom of the Duff's PEV live stream thumbnail that you see on the screen right now. That skateboard on the bottom is a Backfire. So has 6-inch rubber tires. So it's and I think it's king it has I think it has kingpin trucks, I think. Not sure. I think it has a top speed of like 22 miles an hour, which is actually slower than the Meepo, because it's a weird. It's the opposite of what. Well, not really. Bigger tires, generally speaking, unless you have really strong motors to overpower them, bigger tire skateboards are going to actually be slightly slower due to the laws of physics. But unless you have something crazy like a LaCroix board. LaCroix, however you say it. Or a Baja board. I've seen those too. Those are ridiculous. Yeah, CC, I've never ridden a skateboard with pneumatic tires, so it's going to be interesting. It'll make Dunkin' Donut rides more fun. Although I wonder if I could do that. I wonder if I could. I've Because range-wise, I don't have. There wouldn't be enough range to do it without charging. But I wonder if I could just ride there, charge for a half hour, and ride back. That'd be an interesting challenge. Never know. So okay, like one of the things that I like to do is, I go through my comments that I get on my videos, and I should make note of who makes these comments, because it might be somebody that's watching right now, but I did not include that in my notes. But we were talking about the scooters and how the I think it was on a Dualtron video, and this was in reference to how the Bird and Lime scooter craze that's taking over a lot of urban areas. You really hear about it in the Los Angeles area, but they're in a lot of urban areas, I guess. And how what's happening in that industry could negatively affect us. And his comment goes as follows. He says, in the Los Angeles area, it's already happened. Several smaller cities in the LA area do not allow the rental scooters at all or have restrictions on where they can go. I remember talking to Marty about this and you know, wondering if it would restrict him from running his EUC. And so far, he says it has not. The commenter continues on, Beverly Hills and Culver City won't allow rental scooters to be parked within their cities. Santa Monica now won't allow any devices with a motor on the bike path by the beach or in their parks. It's posted all over with officers standing by to enforce it. Less than 1 year ago, there were no restrictions that anyone cared about. I rode for many years on the bike path with a Segway and more recently with EUCs, but thanks to the rental scooters, now have restricted access. To those who think there won't be a reaction from wild wheel riding, they couldn't be more wrong. It not only happens, but it happens very fast, and once it does, is almost impossible to reverse. The posting of crazy wheel riding videos will only serve as easy evidence for any legislator who decides to propose new laws. The future of wheel riding is jeopardized by irresponsible riding, so I am trying to only post videos where I am reasonably within the current laws, even if I may be crossing the line into gray territory sometimes, because there really aren't any laws yet in California that address an electric unicycle. And if that isn't enough, there's a class action lawsuit against the scooter companies brought by people who have been injured by collisions with scooters or damaged by them in some way. So, I thought that was a very well thought out and interesting comment. And I see a lot of parallels to the drone industry and what's happened with drones, where it only takes very, very few negative incidents to get a lot of attention on an issue. Even if 99.9% of the interactions are positive, that 0.1% where something goes really, really bad can have a far-reaching effect that affects everybody. And I've talked about this before, and like how I really come down pretty hard on people that do reckless things while riding and then post it on YouTube, just because I had an experience speaking about drones, and some of you know this, some of you do not. I had an experience with drones where I actually posted a video where I was flying a drone in Yellowstone Park. I did not know that I was breaking the law, but they had changed the laws in national parks within the year prohibiting drones. And I posted that video on YouTube, and 3 months later, I got a call from a ranger, a park ranger at the National Park Service, and they prosecuted me based on that YouTube video. And that's a lot different than deliberately, you know, doing something reckless. But it's just an example of how easy it is for something that most people would think is an innocent thing to be turned against you, and in turn negatively affect the entire hobby. You know, it's just, I often think that it's just a matter of time till something really, really bad happens, and all of a sudden the EUCs are on everybody's radar, and personal electric vehicles in general. You know, electric skateboards, one wheels, all that. That they get a lot of negative attention, and that could really, really put a damper on our fun. So I would like to avoid that for as long as possible. All right, you guys are chatting away again. Let me see here. Joey Spindler, thinking of purchasing an electric skateboard out of the collection. Thoughts versus one wheel and EUC. Well, Joey, what do you have now? Depends on what you have. I can tell you that an electric skateboard is, of the options, is going to be your less or your least expensive option, as long as you don't go real high end right away. My Meepo was right around $400, about half of what my cheapest EUC was. So bang for the buck, I think an electric skateboard can be a really good value. One wheels, I think they're a lot of fun, but they are expensive. Although I still think they do have their sale going on the pluses. I don't know if they still have the promotion on the XRs, but the pluses were $250 off for Black Friday. The XRs were 175 off on Black Friday, but normal price of a one-wheel XR is like $1,800. So it's right up there with high-end EUCs. So definitely not a cheap thing to add to your collection. An electric skateboard is a lot easier way to add something totally different for a lot less money. And they are fun, but you have to make sure that you have an environment that it's fun to ride them in, which I do. And I see people riding them. I mean, if you look at Tashawn's videos, all the people that ride them, and Eddie obviously knows this, but all the people that ride them in New York City and Brooklyn, and I mean, in that traffic and the streets are terrible in a lot of spots. It's amazing that they can do it, but obviously you can do it if you know what you're doing. Okay. CC, I think CC, you might have told me before you have an Evolve. I've seen the Evolves. They are nice. They're expensive though, I think, right? They're aren't they like $1,500? I mean, they're almost one wheel priced. They should be good for that kind of money. Hunka, what was the price and range specs? I'm not sure what you're referring to, Hunka. I might have missed it. I might have missed it above. CC says that they're introducing the scooters in Miami now. Oh, great. Interesting. Yeah, Miami is crazy enough without having scooters all over the place. That'll be interesting. Hunka says those Bird Lime scooters are convenient and a good idea, but badly executed. I don't know. I don't know. How do you, I mean, I've read about their business model. I mean, how do you execute that well? I mean, they basically, I know they have guys that they pay to like go around and pick these things up and charge them and fix them and drop them off at other spots, but how do you prevent people from being assholes? Because it's a large percentage of the population, if they are renting something, they're going to abuse it. They don't give a shit about it, and they're just and they don't care about if they inconvenience someone else, if they just throw it across a sidewalk or on a pathway. People like that. I don't know how you engineer that behavior out of people. That's the problem that I see. But yeah, it is convenient. You get the app and give them your credit card and use it for however long you use it. I guess it is convenient. I'm surprised that they make enough money to make it a good business model, but they must, with as much as they're growing. So I don't get it though. So Rune says that he thinks rental scooters will disappear in a couple of years just because there will be restricted and there's no money to be made anymore. Rune, that I kind of agree with you. I think something horrible will happen that will derail the whole scooter craze, but we will see. Yes, Hunka, that's what I was just saying. People who dump them in unsafe spots are jerks, and unfortunately, some days I think the jerks outnumber the non-jerks in today's world. So it's kind of a tough situation. Brett says he would get insurance for his scooter if it was available. People get hurt by bicycles all the time, and that seems okay. Well, down here, it's you don't hear a lot about. There's a lot of cyclists down here, but you don't hear a lot of cyclists injuring people. You hear a lot more of vehicles injuring cyclists. I don't know if that's true everywhere, but down here it definitely is. And a lot of that has to do with the very elderly population that we have in Southwest Florida. There's a lot of drivers that should not be driving. Sometimes cyclists, though, they ride in an irresponsible way. Like I've seen it myself, where cyclists act like they have, even though they are supposed to treat themselves like a vehicle and stop like where a vehicle would stop. They don't do that, and they just will just blow through sections where they should be stopping. So I can understand why that aggravates drivers, but of course that doesn't give you an excuse to hit them. But you hear about automobiles making contact with bicycles down here all the time. It's an unfortunate thing. Hunka. Oh, so Hunka, you're referring to my drone video? No, no one squealed on me. Basically, in a nutshell, and you should watch the video. It's not a real long video. It's like 10 minutes where I kind of talk through the whole situation. But basically, I posted the video. It was like a 5 minute flight, and they edited down to like a minute and a half. I think we were in the northwestern corner of Yellowstone Park. We just pulled off an area. Just it was a scenic area, but there was nobody else around. It was totally just me and Cindy. Posted the video, and in the video, there was like a half a second of Cindy's license plate was in there. So I'm not 100% sure if they tracked me down via the license plate, or just because they're a federal agency, they were able to go to YouTube and say, "Hey, I need this information." I have no idea. But the weird thing about it was all the contact was that they called me on my cell phone. And I shouldn't tell the whole story because it's like I said, it's its own video. But it is kind of interesting, the way it all went down. And the worst part of it all was this was is it 2 years ago at this point or three? I got the initial call from the park ranger on Christmas frickin' Eve. The guy was just totally trying to be a dick and screw with me and just basically make my holiday suck. Because when he called me and told me all this stuff, I mean, I had no idea what was happening because he originally told me that I might have to fly out to Yellowstone and appear in front of a federal magistrate. That's what he told me. And so like my entire Christmas, I was just like paranoid about what was going to happen. How much was I going to be fined? What was going to, I mean, it was a cluster. And you really should watch a video if you haven't seen it before. But it was unfortunate. And that video actually has the most comments of any video on my channel. It's approaching 1,000 comments on there. And I would say it's probably about 80-20 pro versus con. 80% think that the National Park Service was being kind of big assholes, and 20% think that I deserved it. So, or they think I was lying and that I knew that I wasn't allowed to fly in a national park, and I did anyways, which isn't true. So yeah, interesting watching. If you just go to my channel and search Yellowstone or drone, you'll find it. Okay. Joey Spindler. Z10. Oh, so Joey, you have a Z10, a Monster, and a one. Oh, okay, Joey. So you have a one wheel. I see. Joey, you have a Z10 and a Monster, but you don't have an M10-3? That's what you should get. Yeah, when I say like an EUC is not as much fun as an M10 or as a one wheel, I should have in parentheses unless you have an M10-3, because an M10-3 can be tons and tons of fun just because it's so easy to maneuver. It's crazy. It feels odd and has kind of a steep learning curve, or at least it did for me. But once you get the hang of it, an M10-3 is a lot of fun. The most fun EUC I have to ride by far. So Joey, you're 250 pounds and need a big boy skateboard. I don't know. I don't know what the Meepo is rated weight wise. I don't know. Let's see how quickly I can find that. I don't know that they actually post that in their specs, the capacity of it. I know it's well into the 200s, I think. Okay, rider weight limit on the on the $400 Meepo V2 is 250 pounds, so you're right there. So you could probably get away with it. Sorcery Circus. Kevin Grandin, Steven Sessler, and the owner Todd Draper built it. Custom Gull Skull. Oh, I didn't know Steven was involved in that. I know he customized his wheels multiple times. Okay, so I'm not surprised he's involved then, because yeah, he did some fantastic stuff with all of his wheels. He's very creative. He's into 3D printing as well. Steven's really good. Oh, so CC, you got into EUCs because of me? Well, good. That's awesome. And I'm glad I helped you learn to ride, because it took me a long time to learn, teaching myself for sure. Joey asks, is the skateboard boring now that you have an EUC? Oh, he's asking CC that. Okay, yeah, because for me, no, because it's all new to me. Hunka, no, that it definitely was not a scammer, because I appeared in court via telephone and paid almost $1,000 fine for my offense. Definitely was not a scammer. It was definitely a park ranger on a power trip that had nothing better to do on Christmas Eve than to ruin my day. Actually, on my court date, they had multiple people they were processing at once. There was another guy, same deal. He had a video on YouTube flying in Yellowstone, and they did the same thing. They called him on Christmas Eve as well. So yeah, Yellowstone Park Rangers, not my favorite people. And yes, Brett, the M10-3 is super sweet. So, okay, guys, it's funny that this is going on this long. We're at an hour and 43 minutes. Just because I jumped in here like literally like 7 minutes before I was supposed to start, and you guys have been fantastic with keeping the questions going, because I've said multiple times that I respond best to people bouncing stuff off of me, and I especially appreciate Eddie stopping in here. Like I said, he has a ton of EUC knowledge and lots of King Song knowledge. Hunka, don't they have the server summons? Yes, they do. I'm giving the whole video away, but all right. Yes, they do have to, they normally you would think that a park ranger would have to witness the offense and then write you a citation. In my situation, no park ranger witnessed the offense. They saw the video on YouTube, and the way they issued the citation was they called down to the Everglades National Park, which is closer to me, and had two park rangers from the Everglades National Park hand deliver a summons, a handwritten summons, to me at work in the parking lot. And on the summons, it was just, they just made the information up. They had no idea where it was. Like, they put a fake location on the summons. They had the wrong date information on the summons, and none of it mattered. I mean, I talked to lawyers out there. It's a long story. You should watch a video, and then you can leave your comment there and let me know what you think. But it was, I'm getting all aggravated just thinking about it. It was that annoying. It really was. So, okay, guys. Yeah, Hunka, watch the video. That's all I can say. Just watch the video. And it was crazy and stupid and just so annoying. Rune, I have not checked out your falls and fails video yet. I don't know if you've linked it to me or sent it to me. You can email it to me at Duff at EC Army if you want, and I'll take a look at it. And maybe I'll bring it up in the next video. So, or the next live stream. The next live stream will be 2 weeks from now. Again, that'll be right before Christmas. So I should have all my new toys by then. September, or I'm sorry, December 23rd, Christmas Eve. So it should be fun. And thanks a lot, everybody, for stopping by. Again, thanks for all the interaction in chat. And we will talk to you soon. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.